5. Comprehensive Examination for Interpreter 2. Part 1. Listen to the short passages and then decide whether the corresponding statements below are true or false. There are 10 questions in this part of the test. 2 points for each question.
1. Population growth has turned out to have an internal check. As people grow richer and healthier, they have smaller families. Indeed, the growth rate of the human population reached its peak of more than 2% a year in the early 1960s. The rate of increase has been declining ever since. It is now 1.26% and is expected to fall to 0.46% in 2050.
2. The U.S. approach to education is not systematically informed by experience with education in the rest of the world. Since the 1980s, many calls for domestic performance of U.S. students and their peers in other countries. Nonetheless, the U.S. public has been offered little evidence to explain these results and knows little about the limitations of the studies that produce them.
3. The early environmental movement worried that the mineral resources on which modern industry depends would run out. Clearly, there must be some limit to the amount of fossil fuels and metal ores that can be extracted from the Earth. The planet, after all, has a finite mass. But that limit is far greater than many environmentalists would have people believe.
4. Reserves of natural resources have to be located, a process that costs money. That, not natural scarcity, is the main limit on their availability. However, known reserves of all fossil fuels and of most commercially important metals are now larger than they were when The Limits to Growth was published.
5. In the case of oil, for example, reserves that could be extracted at reasonably competitive prices would keep the world economy running for about 150 years at present consumption rates. Add to that the fact that the price of solar energy has fallen by half in every decade for the past 30 years and appears likely to continue to do so into the future, and energy shortages do not look like a serious threat either to the economy or to the environment.
6. Cement, aluminum, iron, copper, gold, nitrogen, and zinc account for more than 75% of global expenditure on raw materials. Despite an increase in consumption of these materials of between 2- and 10-fold over the past 50 years, the numbers of years of available reserves has actually grown.
7. In the past decade, federal funding for international comparative studies in education has increased and has begun to expand the knowledge base necessary to broaden the U.S. perspective. Most of this funding has been devoted to improving large-scale cross-national surveys and educational indicators. Nonetheless, to date, this investment has not substantially raised the level of discourse in the education and policymaking community. Most individual policymakers, practitioners, and parents in the United States know little more about education in other countries than that we are not number one in mathematics and science.
8. The daily food intake in poor countries has increased from 1,932 calories, barely enough for survival, in 1961 to 2,650 calories in 1998, and is expected to rise to 3,020 by 2030. Likewise, the proportion of people in developing countries who are starving has dropped from 45% in 1949 to 18% today, and is expected to decline even further to 12% in 2010 and just 6% in 2030.
9. One form of pollution, the release of greenhouse gases that causes global warming, does appear to be a long-term phenomenon, but its total impact is unlikely to pose a devastating problem for the future of humanity.
10. More than 190 countries unanimously adopted the first international treaty against smoking at Tuesday's meeting of the World Health Organization after 3 years and six rounds of negotiations. The treaty calls for an advertising ban and new labeling for tobacco products, indoor air controls to reduce secondhand smoke, and stronger legislation against tobacco smuggling. Part 2. Listen to the following short passages and then choose one of the answers that best fits the meaning of each passage. There are 10 questions in this part of the test. 2 points for each question.
1. These environmentalists, led by such veterans as Paul Ehrlich of Stanford University and Lester Brown of the World Watch Institute, have developed a sort of litany of 4 big environmental fears. Natural resources are running out. The population is ever-growing, leaving less and less to eat. Species are becoming extinct in vast numbers. Forests are disappearing and fish stocks are collapsing. The planet's air and water are becoming ever more polluted.
2. A few months after the last election, Tony Blair outlined what he described as the 4 strategic priorities for his second term. The first was to maintain a stable economy. The second was to reduce social division and inequality. The third was to improve public services. The fourth was to settle the argument over Europe in favor of constructive engagement and against Tory isolationism.
3. America's economic recovery has become much less jobless. Non-farm payrolls surged by 308,000 in March, the biggest leap in employment in 4 years. However, the current economic recovery has produced fewer jobs than any other since the Second World War. Unemployment rose to 5.7% from 5.6% as previously discouraged workers re-entered the labor force.
4. There is the free trade but fair trade crowd, and the level playing field crowd, and the America First crowd, all calling for tariffs and other international trade restrictions. Their supposed adversary is corporate America, seeking to boost profits by either importing goods made by cheaper foreign labor or relocating plants in foreign lands to directly take advantage of cheap labor.
5. Jobs among manufacturers of high-tech products and related services are at least as vulnerable to cyclical downturns as traditional industries. The loss of jobs in San Jose in 2001 and 2002 was huge, second only to New York City, a much larger area that was uniquely wounded by terrorism.
6. With the nation's highest dependence on high-tech and IT jobs, San Jose was at the epicenter of the 1996 to 2000 tech boom, but also of the subsequent shakeout. Few places experienced greater increases in jobs and incomes in the boom era, yet none suffered as great a hangover.
7. In the same 2 years when San Jose lost more than 120,000 jobs, San Diego added 34,700, Sacramento added 33,900, and Riverside San Bernardino added 69,300. Employment rose in Modesto, Bakersfield, San Luis Obispo, Visalia, Lodi, and Fresno.
8. Although similar in many ways to smallpox, monkeypox is less infectious and less deadly than its more famous relative. The disease occurs primarily in Central and West Africa. Although state and federal officials are still investigating the cause of the Midwest monkeypox cases, they do know that all the patients had direct or close contact with infected prairie dogs kept as pets.
9. The 5-page questionnaire asks troops to list any symptoms they developed during their Gulf tours, including coughs, rashes, headaches, chest pain, or dizziness, and if they are having problems with depression or stress.
10. Smoking-related disease kills 5 million people worldwide each year, a number that the agency projects will double by 2020 without a concerted global effort to curb smoking, the agency says. Smoking increases in developing countries will account for more than 70% of the projected death toll. Part 3. Listen to the following longer passages and then choose the best answers to the questions. You may need to scribble a few notes in order to answer the questions satisfactorily. There are 4 passages in this part, each with 5 questions, and each question carries 2 points. Passage 1. In 1968, Dr. Ehrlich predicted in his best-selling book, The Population Bomb, that the battle to feed humanity is over. In the course of the 1970s, the world will experience starvation of tragic proportions. Hundreds of millions of people will starve to death. That did not happen. Instead, according to the United Nations, agricultural production in the developing world has increased by 52% per person since 1961. The daily food intake in poor countries has increased from 1,932 calories, barely enough for survival, in 1961 to 2,650 calories in 1998 and is expected to rise to 3,020 by 2030. Likewise, the proportion of people in developing countries who are starving has dropped from 45% in 1949 to 18% today, and is expected to decline even further to 12% in 2010 and just 6% in 2030. Food, in other words, is becoming not scarcer, but even more abundant. This is reflected in its price. Since 1800, food prices have decreased by more than 90%, and in 2000, according to the World Bank, prices were lower than ever before.
Passage 2. In the Supreme Court's 1986 landmark ruling denying the right of adult gay men to engage in consensual homosexual sex, Chief Justice Warren Burger wrote approvingly, "Blackstone, an 18th century English jurist, described the infamous crime against nature as an offense of deeper malignity than rape, a heinous act the very mention of which is a disgrace to human nature, and a crime not fit to be named. To hold that the act of homosexual sodomy," he continued, "is somehow protected as a fundamental right would be to cast aside millennia of moral teaching. That was fewer than 20 years ago. How things have changed. In 2003, the Supreme Court struck down America's sodomy laws. A few months later, the Massachusetts Supreme Court became the first state court to rule that gays had a constitutional right to wed. That spark started a bushfire, which has swept the country. Over the past few weeks, renegade ministers and officials in towns and villages in half a dozen states, from New Mexico to New Jersey, have been doling out thousands of marriage licenses to jubilant gay couples. Horrified conservatives are now working to stamp out the blaze, which, they say, is threatening one of the most important foundations, not just of American society, but of the whole civilized world. 5 American states have already rushed through legislation explicitly banning same-sex marriages, and George Bush has agreed to seek a constitutional ban to the same effect.
Passage 3. Officials at Duke University Medical Center are reviewing the chain of events that led to a teenage girl receiving organs with the wrong blood type. Jessica Santillan, 17, underwent a heart-lung transplant on February 7th, receiving type A organs incompatible with her own zero-positive blood. Her surgeons realized their mistake almost immediately, but could do nothing until a second set of donor organs became available. In the interim, Santillan suffered a stroke and kidney damage. Tests this morning revealed swelling and bleeding in her brain, indicators of severe damage, a day after her second transplant, her doctor said. Hospital officials have concluded that the donated heart and lungs were typed and labeled correctly, but Santillan's doctors assumed the organs were compatible with their patient's blood type. The United Network for Organ Sharing, which provided both sets of organs, is also investigating the chain of events that led to the mistake. The incident highlights the serious problem of medical errors. According to a 1999 report from the Institute of Medicine of the National Academies, To Err is Human, Building a Safer Health System, medical mistakes kill 44,000 to 98,000 people each year, more than automobile accidents, breast cancer, or AIDS. The report concludes that the number could be reduced by 50% over 5 years if serious changes were made to the nation's healthcare system. Chief among its recommendations is that state governments require hospitals and other medical facilities to report errors that result in serious harm or death. In response to the report, Congress allocated $50 million for a federal initiative to research the causes and prevention of medical mistakes under the auspices of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
Passage 4. Some problems can occur after drinking over a relatively short period of time, but other problems, such as liver disease, heart disease, certain forms of cancer, often develop more gradually and may become evident only after long-term heavy drinking. Women may develop alcohol-related health problems after consuming less alcohol than men do over a shorter period of time. Because alcohol affects many organs in the body, long-term heavy drinking puts you at risk for developing serious health problems, some of which are described below. Alcohol-related liver disease. More than 2 million Americans suffer from alcohol-related liver disease. Some drinkers develop alcoholic hepatitis, or inflammation of the liver, as a result of long-term heavy drinking. Its symptoms include fever, jaundice, abnormal yellowing of the skin, eyeballs, and urine, and abdominal pain. Alcoholic hepatitis can cause death if drinking continues. If drinking stops, this condition often is reversible. Heart disease. Moderate drinking can have beneficial effects on the heart, especially among those at greatest risk for heart attacks, such as men over the age of 45 and women after menopause. But long-term heavy drinking increases the risk for high blood pressure, heart disease, and some kinds of stroke. Cancer. Long-term heavy drinking increases the risk of developing certain forms of cancer, especially cancer of the esophagus, mouth, throat, and voice box. Women are at slightly increased risk of developing breast cancer if they drink 2 or more drinks per day. Drinking may also increase the risk for developing cancer of the colon and rectum.
Part 4. Write a summary of approximately 200 to 250 words of the passage you are going to hear. The passage is around 500 words in length. This part of the test carries 20 points. Opinion polls suggest that many people, in the rich world at least, nurture the belief that environmental standards are declining. 4 factors cause this disjunction between perception and reality. 1 is the lopsidedness built into scientific research. Scientific funding goes mainly to areas with many problems. That may be wise policy, but it will also create an impression that many more potential problems exist than is the case. Secondly, environmental groups need to be noticed by the mass media. They also need to keep the money rolling in. Understandably, perhaps, they sometimes exaggerate. In 1997, for example, the Worldwide Fund for Nature issued a press release entitled, 2/3 of the World's Forests Lost Forever. The truth turns out to be nearer 20%. Though these groups are run overwhelmingly by selfless folk, they nevertheless share many of the characteristics of other lobby groups. That would matter less if people applied the same degree of skepticism to environmental lobbying as they do to lobby groups in other fields. A trade organization arguing for, say, weaker pollution controls is instantly seen as self-interested. Yet a green organization opposing such a weakening is seen as altruistic, even if a dispassionate view of the controls in question might suggest they are doing more harm than good. A third source of confusion is the attitude of the media. People are clearly more curious about bad news than good. Newspapers and broadcasters are there to provide what the public wants. That, however, can lead to significant distortions of perception. An example was America's encounter with El Niño in 1997 and 1998. This climatic phenomenon was accused of wrecking tourism, causing allergies, melting the ski slopes, and causing 22 deaths by dumping snow in Ohio. A more balanced view comes from a recent article in the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society. This tries to count up both the problems and the benefits of the 1997 to 1998 Niño. The damage it did was estimated at $4 billion. However, the benefits amounted to some $19 billion. These came from higher winter temperatures, which saved an estimated 850 lives, reducing heating costs and diminishing spring floods caused by meltwaters, and from the well-documented connection between past Niños and fewer Atlantic hurricanes. In 1998, America experienced no big Atlantic hurricanes and thus avoided huge losses. These benefits were not reported as widely as the losses. The fourth factor is poor individual perception. People worry that the endless rise in the amount of stuff everyone throws away will cause the world to run out of places to dispose of waste. Yet, even if America's trash output continues to rise as it has done in the past, and even if the American population doubles by 2100, all the rubbish America produces through the entire 21st century will still take up only the area of a square, each of whose size measure 28 kilometers, 18 miles. That is just 1/12,000th of the area of the entire United States.